At Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on a Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday's sermon and give you practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Well, howdy, y'all.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this? So, this week, as we get going, we are going to be talking a little bit about being one and not being split. That's kind of the main theme of the sermon this week. And while we do that, we are totally split. There are three of us in one room, one in another room, and one in another room because Stacy and I found out Sunday afternoon that we had a possible exposure, direct exposure to COVID. And so we are not in the same room with everyone else. We are safely social distancing, but we still wanted to be able to talk about who God is and who he has created us to be. And so that's what we're going to do today. And so as we do that, I'll let us introduce ourselves, and I'll start with Stacy on the phone.
Hello, I'm Stacy Gerber. I'm married to Anthony. We have four kids, Lannon, Alex, Samantha, and Bennett. And they're 8, 6, 4, and 2 for two more days. And then Bennett turned 3.
Let the countdown begin.
This is going to be just a recurring thing where we always have to put in their ages.
If I can get it right, yeah.
Yeah, that's your job. Because I'll work on it.
I'll think of something else to introduce myself maybe one of these times. But for now, that's it.
I'm Casey Roberts, and I don't have any kids, but I have youth group kids, which are just as wild that I can step away for a bit. So, but I do the high school ministries here at Trinity and absolutely love it. We got a great crew here.
I am Lacey Steamer. I have two boys, Peyton and Hudson, and they rock my world.
Keeping it short and simple.
Oh, they sure do.
Oh, yeah.
And this morning they asked me, would you rather? Would you rather eat a cockroach or have ants in your house?
Ants in the house.
I don't like either option.
Well, so what'd you say?
I didn't say anything because ants are like my arch nemesis in life. I cannot stand them. So Hudson's like, I think I'd eat a cockroach for you, Mom. And I'm like, I couldn't do any of that.
That wasn't part of the option.
No, it
wasn't. Either you eat it or you have ants in the house.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, Lacey, I'm not sure you get the idea of a would you rather.
Oh,
like,
no.
You have to pick one.
I totally understand it. I just chose not to answer that one because they're both gross.
And not making a choice is a choice.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
stand on my ground. Right,
and when you're dealing with elementary students, you're not, or any elementary age kid, it's not going to be the would you rather have chocolate or cotton candy. It's the grossest options possible.
Right.
So for those of you listening out in podcast
land,
I
haven't introduced myself yet.
Oh,
forgot Paul.
Yeah.
I know, we're getting there. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, would you rather eat a cockroach or have ants in your house? Email us at trinityfremontpodcast@gmail.com. All right, Paul, go.
I would rather have ants. At least then I can put, I think my wife puts cedar wood or something around the windows and these little cotton balls everywhere.
I've tried that. And peppermint oil. No, these ants are like immune to it.
It doesn't work.
These ants, Lacey's ants are immune to it.
Are immune to it.
Mutant ants.
They are.
My name is Paul Paquette. I am the podcast producer, I guess. I don't know.
He just gave himself a title.
I just gave myself a title. Well, I have all the equipment in front of me, so I guess I can call myself that.
And it's on record, so we can't change it.
Yeah, no, it's official now. I have a clipboard and everything. And then I'm also, I do some worship leading here at Trinity. I haven't in a while. I mean, I've done videos, but I'm kind of rusty. I'm out of practice. I don't know how to get up on Sunday mornings, let alone get ready to rehearse. Anyways, I have kids. We're talking about kids. I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. The 5-year-old is attending Trinity this year, hopefully, as long as we're able to do that. And my 10-year-old's going into 5th grade, which will be homeroom with her wife, Casey.
Yes.
And she just had your wife for a teacher all last year.
I know. She can't escape her now. It's awesome.
She's awesome. And that's it.
Awesome. All right. So this week, we're going to introduce a new segment into our podcast, and it's a how'd it go? So at the end of each podcast, we end with some starting points. Oh, yeah. Woo! We end each podcast with some starting points of what are some things that we're talking about in our homes or that we want to be doing in our homes, maybe some action items that we can put into place, put into practice. Well, not only is that, you know, we've talked about growth and change happens when information is reflected on and put into practice, but a big need for that is encouragement and accountability, surrounded by a group of people who can encourage us and keep us accountable. And so one of the ways that we're going to ask and keep us accountable and encourage each other in this is when we start the next week is say, well, how'd last week go? Was there something that you tried that went really well? What, did you try something and it was a complete flop in your home? And so we, you course corrected a little bit through, but how did it go? What are some ways? And last week we were talking about, you know, again, being in that image of God, living that out with one another by being in relationship with each other. And so, you know, we talked about what are some things in our lives that God has given to us, has made in us, has made us special for the benefit of others. And so, guys, gals, how'd it go?
It went fantastic. I'm going to be honest. God has given me the ability to cook for an army. A friend of mine had surgery yesterday. She gets to come home today. So I took Sunday. I ran to the grocery store with my husband. So it was like a massive outing. We masked up and went and bought all the things. And then we came home and I made her beefaladas, which is like a burrito, taco, enchilada type thing. I have no idea. It was a new recipe. I wanted to give it a shot. And then I made 24 breakfast sandwiches and about 7 dozen cookies. And yeah, so my boys kept taking stuff next door and dropping it off. And I felt bad because they kind of, you know, ding dong and then ran. And I'm like, you know, they have a ring. They can see you. So, but yeah, it was good.
COVID-19 is the only thing that made ding dong ditching actually appropriate and okay.
Yeah. Nope. They have a video of Hudson. I can't remember what he was doing. He went up to put something on their front porch and then he rang the doorbell and then he was running back and he tripped and fell and just like totally wiped out. So Amber sent me the video of this and I'm like, oh, that's my kid.
And that's awesome. Why you get the ring doorbell.
Yeah. No, we don't have that. We're old school.
We don't either.
Nope.
I have one.
I know.
My wife gave it to me for Christmas 2 years ago.
So when you moved, you took it with you?
Oh, I did.
Oh, seriously? I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah. Of course you can. Why wouldn't you take your ring with you?
Well, it's attached to my finger, so.
Oh, boo. Hold on. I got a sound effect for that. Hold
I'm
on.
Sure
I was
going
to say, we have to have a sound effect.
I did that as a test.
Here we go.
There it is.
For those who know my husband.
Wow, that sound producer wasn't on top of it. We may need to find a new one.
I know. Fire me.
Hey, my husband's a one-liner, so you guys all know him. That would have been a comment.
Yeah,
he made,
he's pun central.
And it's his birthday today. Oh, I totally, I should have led
happy
with that.
Happy birthday.
There
should we sing?
Happy birthday.
Now you're officially.
I think if we were all in one room, we could sing, but trying to do it with via Zoom and phone and in a room, I don't think we should sing.
It would be hilarious.
Or something.
All right, so, yeah, it would be
how
something.
How did we
it
lose
would be
all our listeners in one try?
Oh, hey. So what was the question again? I'm sorry.
How did it go? For the rest of you, how did it go? Did you do so? God has given you something in you. Were you able to use that for the benefit of others this week?
No. I haven't seen anybody. I hung out with my kids and we watched a lot of fireworks Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. There was a lot of fireworks this last week for some reason. I don't know what was going on.
I felt very independent while doing it, you know?
I don't know what it was. So we watched fireworks, but I didn't see anybody else because, I don't know, it feels like everybody is social distancing.
And you guys do kind of live.
And we live in the boondocks.
Yeah.
The boonies.
But it counts towards your kids too and your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're people.
Well, I guess you could say that I hung out with them.
That's good.
Yeah. Which is different than not hanging out with them.
True.
This is most certainly true.
And I'm sure giggles were involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, my kids are playing a lot of Roblox. I don't know. If you kids play that all day, every day. Please email us at what's the email?
Trinity Fremont Podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah. So if your kids play a lot of that, just email us. Tell us how that's going. Anyways, I've learned all kinds of stuff. Did you know that you can do this and this and this and this and this and this and this? And you're like, I have no idea the words coming out of your mouth right now, but I'm going to shake, nod and go, oh, that is fascinating. That is fascinating.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that you could build a house and then
pick still don't know that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Don't you worry. If you really want to know about it, I can send Leah and William over. Actually, William's worse than Leah, but I can send him over to you, and he can tell you all about it.
And so could Peyton and Hudson.
Yeah.
Just like a whole lesson.
I will say that the what's funny about this whole thing is the program allows them to earn money by working. Get that. And then they go build stuff. And then they complain how they work, and then they don't have enough money for stuff.
And real so life.
So I am fascinated by the fact that they go. The only thing they need to have in there is some sort of taxes, because that would be
that
even
was
better.
My next question is, when does property tax get involved?
Well, the best part is like, I bought this house and I spent $2,000, and when I sold it, I only got $1,100 back. And you're like, wow, that's just hard.
I bet life won't be like that when you grow up.
Right. All right. So moving off of Roblox for a bit. I'm sure we'll come back to it. It's like olives. For us, so, you know, I talked last week about how I love to cook for people. And this weekend being that one weekend where there's lots of celebrations and fireworks, we were out with Stacy's family. And I knew, you know, as we talked about last week, we're on the Whole 30. Stacy and I are. No one else is. And so there was lots.
I am.
Well, Paul is. Yes. No one else that we were with this weekend.
Oh.
And so we knew, as we talked about from the wedding, that for me, I celebrate with food. So it was going to be a difficult time if I just complained about all the other food that I couldn't eat. So that gave me the opportunity to cook for people. And I made 9 pounds of chicken wings for an appetizer. And there were two wings left for an appetizer.
That's great.
It was glorious. We had five different kinds. No, we had spicy, quote unquote, spicy. There was no other better name for it. And Cajun and Italian herb and buffalo and what Stacy deemed as plain and boring.
I mean, that's what they kids. Were, but they were so good.
I got to do that. I got to serve others by cooking, and
they were all Whole 30 approved, so Anthony all could eat all of them.
I completely forgot that I did go to a 4th of July party. I said it was social distancing. I guess I was not. The reason I brought that up because we also had wings, and they would cook on the grill, and they were not Whole 30 approved, so I ate them, but my wife did not, because I'm just so strict about it.
Good job, Lori. Way to stay strong.
Good job, Lori. We're proud of you.
Lori brought her chicken Asian ginger salad thing.
Ooh, yum.
And that went over awesome. Everybody ate it, including me. I did have it as well. But yeah, I would say that I wish I was in your shoes, that I could cook and everybody would be happy. But I just like to eat.
There you go.
Real life.
There you go. All right. So this week, we really focused in, Pastor Hoyer focused us in on being one. And he used this idea of a splitting headache and really started to ask, you know, what splits us? What takes us away from being one? And so he kind of had, as he started his sermon, he had a main question that he wanted to ask us this week.
Today, we want to look a little bit at what are the things that have split our relationship? Why is it that even when we look around and see God's image on people, we can look around and sometimes we have to look really hard at certain individuals to find God's image there?
So why is it hard for us to see the image of God in people? And maybe a better question for us to ask, and it's really kind of two sides. Do you look for the image of God in people? Like, I've seen a couple things, you know, Facebook-wise of, and I've seen this before, but you see what you look for, all right? You see what you think about, right? Don't think about a purple elephant. Whoops, right? And so when you're looking for something, right? How many of you have bought a new car or a new to you car and you never saw it before, but once you purchased it, now it's everywhere because you're seeing it. Lacey sent you can talk, Lacey. They can't see you shake your head.
Oh, that's right. They're, right. Keep in mind, I have boys and a husband who loves cars. So one of our games is, what car is this? So when we're driving down the road on vacation, it's GMC, Dodge, Chevy, Ford, Kia, Fiat, and then
Tesla.
Tesla. I was coming to that, Paul. You beat me to it. That's the boys' new one. That's Peyton's like, hey, you know, when I turn 16, I'm going to get a Tesla. And
sure
I'm like,
you are.
Yeah.
Play more
Tell
Roblox.
Him he needs to work a little harder in Roblox.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like, dude, do you realize where I work? I can't afford to buy you a Tesla.
Who said you're going to buy it? He's going to buy it.
He better.
He's going to develop a new software called Roblox 2.
Two, probably. Oh, my goodness. We should put a patent on that now.
I was wondering if they were actually going to get specific, like, well, that one's a 2015, but if you notice in the 2017, they changed the height of the rims.
Honestly, Casey, they do do that. Like,
oh, wow.
Jeff is a Mustang person, so anytime a Mustang goes by, he's like, that's a 65, that's a 67, that's a 68 fastback, or I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm sure I said it wrong. So, yeah.
You know, I was, I don't know if I ever really put it in verbal language that I was looking at the image of God, but I do like to see, like, I'll try to find the qualities of people. So some people might be good at certain things, or I'll notice that I was like, that person has that quality. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, when we talk about it, things like the fruit of the spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you see that in people, I mean, you are seeing the image of God.
Yeah. I guess I just never put it in my brain. I never really thought, oh, I'm seeing the image of God. I'm just saying, oh, I'm like, that quality is in that person.
And for me, it usually stands out as people who have gifts or abilities that aren't like mine, because the things I don't have gifts or abilities to do, usually I don't like doing as much, or it's, you know, my wife also teaches art at the school and I have no art abilities and I don't find much enjoyment out of it. So she can make beautiful paintings and all these kind of crafts she comes up with, and like, she seems so happy. I'm so grateful for people out there that make our world beautiful to look at, because if it were up to me, oof, this would not be good. And just looking at what other abilities people have that I don't have, you know, it's easier to see for me and find the image of God in that.
I would agree, but sometimes you take that for granted, that somebody can do it.
I take what for granted?
You know, well, I'll throw my husband under the bus. He loves to do woodworking, so I just think that most everyone can do things like this. Okay, maybe that's a bad example. He's a man, so I think he should be able...
I'm a man, yeah, so exactly. I can do wood.
So to change the oil, fix my car, you know, little things like that, I just take for granted that, oh, he knows how to do it.
So therefore, all men need to know
how to do it? So sometimes I think like all men need to know how to do. I just buried myself in a hole. I'll just stop talking. That came out completely wrong. But sometimes they take it for granted because, you know, I take my husband for granted because he can just do it. You know, like, I don't even think about it. I'm like, oh, hey, this needs to be fixed. Or, oh, hey, I really like this picture of these nightstands. And all of a sudden they're sitting in my garage. You know, he can just,
I'm not the only one.
Can just whip them out. Oh yeah, I got two nightstands to paint. So.
Yeah. And just because can do it, does that mean that's the best use of their time and their gift? Maybe
he enjoys doing it.
I think I fall into that sometimes too, like, oh, you're really talented and gifted in this area, so you should be doing this all the time.
Yeah,
where maybe that's not their personal passion and where God is calling them to use their gift.
And it might also come down to the way that he shows love to you. He might show love to you by building you stuff, doing stuff for you. I know I'm very much like that. I will do stuff for Lori, even though she might, it's like, hey, let's have a sit down and hang out together. And it's like, yeah, I would rather, would you rather hang out or build nightstands?
I think my husband would choose build nightstands. Unless we're watching Lost, then.
Lost?
Oh, yeah, we've introduced the kids to that. So yeah,
too bad. Too bad. Well, too bad to get to the final season.
That's love languages.
Yeah.
Right? That's love languages. Like, we all have different love languages. The struggle sometimes is we like to love people in the way that we like to be loved, not in the way that they like to be loved. Correct. Always.
Well, and one of the interesting things in a devotion that Tara and I were doing, more times than not, the love language you like to receive is different than the one you like to give.
Correct.
Like, it's really interesting.
Like, I need a lot of affirmations because I have no self-esteem. But you're the best
producer ever.
Thanks. But I hate receiving affirmations, even though I really need them. And I don't like to give them. I rather do something for you because I do feel like actions speak louder than words kind of things. That makes sense?
Yeah.
I'm just a horrible person.
No, you're not a horrible person.
No.
You're the best ever.
Oh. I'm going to throw this at you.
All being a horrible person. No. But so the kind of the flip side of that question, you know, do you look for the image of God in people, right? What are we looking for? I think at times it can be easy to look for the faults in people. I want to have a key clarification here. The image of God does not mean good. When we look at a person and we say, oh, I see the image of God, it's not because, oh, they're such a great person. Because that would mean that someone that you don't deem as great is someone who doesn't have the image of God. And that's not the case, right? We all have the image of God. It's how well we bear that image that then we see kind of those moral standards that we all live with. But in terms of what we look for, right? Do you look for the image of God in people or do you look for the faults in people? I know for me, because right, when I'm asking a tough question, an awkward question, I'll go ahead and start the discussion. I know for me, there are times where it's just easier to see the faults in people because that makes me feel better. Paul, you were talking about the self-esteem. Like that's me. Like I don't have a ton of self-esteem. So if I can see a fault in someone else, then that builds me up a little bit. And you know, what an awful way to live. But hooray, sin, right? That's what sin has done for us, is turned us into people who want to get ahead, who want to put themselves up above others. And instead of doing that by like, I'm just going to be the best person that I can be, I'm going to live out God's will for my life the best I can, we can celebrate when someone else fails, because then that makes us our job easier.
Well, and for me, it's not just looking at or finding the faults. It's I find myself more easily looking at faults that I don't have. Because in other words, like if I have a weakness, you know, towards anger, it's easier to see people that have issues that I don't have. It makes me feel better that, you know, hey, I got this problem going on, but at least I'm not like that. And that's one of the things I struggle the most with. And I think it's exactly what Satan wants to do with us, is divide us amongst about any way he can. And that's someone I struggle with a lot.
I like to think that I look at, when I look at individuals, I really do try to look at their positive traits. I'm more of you have an A until you lose it kind of mentality, instead of you have to earn your A, that makes sense. But I don't want to look at the faults at first, because I do try to say, how is this person useful? And I hate to say that useful for me, but I mean, I want to say that, but useful for the vision or the reason why we're doing whatever it is what we're doing. Especially in like in worship leading, I'll get people who will come and I'll be like, this person is really good at this. And therefore, for instance, I will call out, Casey's wife. She looks at me like, well, I can't sing. She can sing great.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love about her voice is that she's a little bit extravagant with it, and she likes to improv a little bit, and I love it. I think it's great. I was like, yes, please do more of that, because it shows that you're really singing from your heart. She thinks that she's like, I'm over singing and I can't sing well and whatever. And I'm trying to say, hey, listen. That's an interesting question. Do you think that the parts that you think are your weaknesses and everybody else sees it as your strength? Because I know that I like to sit there and go, man, I am very opinionated and I'm very New England. And I would tell you, see, the way I look at it is I will always tell you the truth, but I'm not exactly, I might not be the kindest or the way not my presentation, but my...
call it as you see it.
I call it as I see it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I could be a little bit more tactful, but Lacey's shaking her head.
But I'm the same way. I'm kind of like a right between the eyes kind of person. I'm going to tell you how it is. You know, I will always tell you the truth, whether you're going to like it or not, but I don't add a lot of sugar to it, because that's not doing anybody any favors.
Yeah. That's why I usually...
To some extent. Yeah, but you do have, I guess I shouldn't say that. You do have to be careful with how you say things to the person you're saying it to, because I can tell Peyton something, I have to say it to him differently than how I say it to Hudson, because they have two different personalities. But I'm still pretty straightforward.
I'm pretty bad at that.
Yeah. And it's burnt me a couple of times. We had a situation where I needed to talk to two people and tell them, oh, hey, by the way, you're not going to use this room today. And the way I went about it kind of blew sand out of the water. And I felt really guilty about it, because when I go back and look at it now, I was like, oh, shoot, I could have used way more tact when I did that. It was just like heat of the moment. I better do this or I'm going to get, you know, messed up up on the back end.
Well, it always scares me when somebody goes to me, hey, can I have your opinion on something? You sure?
Well, and I approach things the exact opposite way because I love the gifts that each person brings to a situation. And so I'm concerned that I'm going to be over the top if I like point out that someone's not doing something. So I tried to do like, they call it like the Oreo cookie method where you're like, you're great at this. And then the filling is, here's the problem. Then you close it off with, but I want you to remember, you're awesome at this. And you guys are nodding your heads for those who can't see, which is basically everyone.
Unless.
But, and people know that method because it's at times so see-through. And so I appreciate people who are very direct because I'm like, you're not throwing around cotton candy at me. You're telling me exactly what I need to know, even though I won't do that for other people because it feels awkward.
It's okay. I told you and your wife where to hang your stuff in your house. So
in your defense, yeah, but we asked for that.
Yeah, but they invited you.
But
you did, she did not bust down our door.
It was still kind of weird though, because I'm like, here? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh,
no,
okay.
No, my wife was the one going, yeah.
Oh, that's true. You had the tools.
Yes. My eye for design is nothing.
As a guy with the tools, the only thing that we ask for is that you don't have us hang it and go, well, you move it over 2 feet. That's the part we like.
I just found the stud and I anchored it in the wall.
Yeah. But now you want me to move it. Now I have to not have a stud. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no All problem.
Right.
So.
Oh, back on topic.
Moving forward. How do you teach your children to see the image of God in each other, right? In their siblings, starting there, but then also in those around them? Like, how do you make sure that when they leave your home, that's their default, is to see the image of God in those around them?
Casey, I expect you to answer this because...
Believe it or not, I have an answer for this.
Let's hear it.
And it's more from what I see as someone who leads youth groups. You see what kids carry from their homes or what youth carry from their backgrounds. I think one of the huge blessings here at Trinity is for the youth I interact with, they come from a majority of a very solid family lives, and it's a huge blessing. But they have good faith backgrounds as well. One of the interesting things is you can tell, you know, and because we all default to this, what we say versus what we do. And I've seen it in past congregations where I was at, where I've had several students who one parent was a person of faith and the other couldn't care less about God. And I just remember it was a catechism class I was teaching one day, and we were getting into like the heart of, it was the story of Moses and coming from a different background, him growing up in Egypt. And they're like, oh yeah, I grew up, and this is in front of the whole class, this student goes, yeah, and my dad makes fun of Jesus all the time. I'm like, great, how do I address that? But the point of that story is students carry in what they see, not just what they hear. Mm-hmm. And it's even though I don't have kids, it's created the challenge of, am I actually living out in those moments where I'm not thinking about it, what I say? Because there hasn't been a time in my life where I haven't thought that every single person is made by our God and in his image. But I can tell you, I haven't always acted like it. And for me, it's bridging that gap of, is what I say meeting up with how I act? And while that will never be perfect, that's always a challenge I want to pose for myself, to live out what I talk about.
So to synthesize, how you teach your children to see the image of God is by modeling it, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Monkey see, monkey do. Yeah.
This is a weird concept.
But I think it can also be more intentional too. We're doing this, and then kind of explain, why are we doing this? We're taking dinner to a friend. They just had surgery. One way we can show love to our neighbors and our friends is by caring for them, seeing a need, and how can we fill it? I don't know where I heard that phrase not long ago, but somebody said in their family, they say, what's the need and how can you help? And I just really like that, because kids like that challenge of, okay, I can see that here's something that's not quite right. Is there something I can do that could make that better? Can I just sit with them and play for a while? Can I get them a band-aid? Can I, whatever they see. Their kids are good at coming up with those kinds of things. And I think for the most part, they like to take care of other people and help. Now that can certainly, like Casey said, be influenced by what they see and hear at home. But to allow kids to be part of that too and to talk it through, I think is really empowering for them. So just having an open conversation of, here's what we're doing and why we're doing it, and relating it back to, Jesus said, love our neighbors as ourselves. How are we doing that today?
It's kind of like how we explain adopted families at Christmas time to kids, you know, because they'll see this list of, you know, clothes, toys, household goods. And I always take the boys with me when we go shopping, and I'm like, okay, we're buying this for a 6-year-old little boy. What do you think he would like? And, you know, they're thankful that we're able to do that. You know, it shows them that it's always better to give, whether you're giving your time, your energy, financially, it's just better to give than to receive. And it also kind of, at least for me, fills my bucket. It makes me feel like I've done something, like I've accomplished something. I've, you know, made somebody's day better, whether it be I dropped off a Starbucks or here's 4 cookies that I made, or Paul asked me this morning for a rubber band and I'm like, yep, I've got that. So, you know, you can.
My bucket is full.
That's right.
You know, I
thought of serving others.
Yeah.
One thing I keep on thinking of is, this sounds weird, but I guess it's the way that Lori says that I treat my son different than I treat my daughter. Have that? Well, you have 2 sons, so.
Well, but I treat them a little. I do treat them differently, just based on their personalities. Like Peyton, for example, sometimes I have to be careful. I'm not a big joker. Like, I like to be funny, but I'm not a big joker because sometimes I don't understand jokes, and then it hurts my feelings. So I try not to joke with him. But Hudson, I can totally joke with him because he's just off the wall. I can be like, "Hey, you little stink monster, what are you doing today?" And he's like, "Hey, we're gonna go swimming today." But if I call Peyton a stink monster, he might be like, Mom, that wasn't nice. So
I need to take a bath right now.
Exactly. So I do treat them a little bit differently.
Well, I'm talking about the way that I, especially like Will, one of the biggest things that I, is how he treats his mother and how he treats his sister. Because as a boy, treating, you know, make sure I teach him the respect that he needs to show. Because if I don't, he just tries to dominate everything. And, but Leah is just like the biggest heart ever. And she can watch a commercial about some chicken cross the road and mine start tearing up about it, and she's like, with a chicken cross the road, and it's like, we read this story during the COVID years of school. We had to read this story
months, years, it's all kind of blends together.
So they had this story about this kid who had a pig, and he went to this cave to get the pig, and actually, you know, these people were gonna like ransack the village, so he brought all the people into the cave, and then he's like, let's sacrifice the pig, let's send the pig out, and then they'll think that we have plenty of food and that we're never going to come out of here, and then they'll leave. And my daughter is like, why are they going to kill pig? And of course, you sit there going, what are we reading here? Oh, anyways, I'm sorry. I will always get off topic.
Yeah, but I can picture that, like, Leah's little
but
eyes.
Your kids are different.
Yeah, you can say they're different, all right.
Yeah. Little.
Well, Stacey, well, I mean, you have youngins, youths, yes. Youths.
I like youngins.
Youngins.
Like Funyuns.
Oh, I love Funyuns.
Oh, I mean, it's one thing, because like with Leah, she's 10 years old. There's a little bit more of a cognitive conversation with Leah. With Will, it's more right. of, this is, you know, how you just acted is not appropriate. You will talk right. to your mother this way. Yeah. And then he looks at me and he rolls his eyes. And anyway. But youngins, I mean, because Casey's talking about high school kids that are coming in.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more of a cognitive base that you can have more intellectual conversations with. My 5-year-old, I'm just not there yet, right. You know, so.
Yeah.
But they are, I mean, the youngins or whatever, they are picking up that they're picking up what we do. I mean, they're really they're able to watch, they're able to see. I mean, our 2-year-old has started calling everybody poopy butt because
it sounds like Will.
Because they heard that from another child, which probably will remain nameless. And so
probably Will.
No, it wasn't.
One of our children.
Pick that up so quickly. They're just sponges. And so, you know, waiting until high school to start having these conversations, they've already been formed. And that's why, you know, that's why we started this. That's why we're doing this today, is because, you know, we're trying to change how families interact in their homes, starting, and we started with confirmation because we wanted to re-equip parents to be those primary faith formers in their homes, but we knew that it couldn't just stay in confirmation. We needed to move it down into these younger years, these families with younger children, so that they can start this process early because that's when children are being formed. And so whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, whether your kids are 2 or 20 or 84. And if you're listening, your kid's 84, that'd be incredible. But right, you're still modeling for your kids. You're still teaching with what you do. And that's why, you know, with confirmation, we've talked about, I've told families, I said, you know, I can teach for an hour. I can teach for hours on the third commandment, which is, you know, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
3 hours later.
But if you're never in church, if you're never taking a break from work, if you're working 7 days a week, if you're never stopping, Shabbating is the Hebrew word. To Shabbat is to stop. And you have to stop to rest. And if you're never stopping, you're teaching your children much more than I could ever teach them about the Sabbath, about what it is and about how we live it out. But that starts, right? That starts at 2 weeks. That starts before that. And so as we start to wrap up, what are some starting points in your homes? What are some things that you can be doing in your home to be one, right? To not see these splits or these divides, but to see each person as created in the image of God, instead of seeing their faults, instead of seeing the things that split us apart, but seeing the things that unify them. And how can you not only do that for yourselves, but then model that and teach that to your children? So what are some starting points for you in your home as we've been talking through this?
For me, it goes back to the practice what you preach idea that I was talking about earlier. You know, and it maybe sounded like when I was talking about earlier that I like to find the faults in people. I don't. Not at all. I think I love harmonizing with people. Like, we are a great planet overall. But part of living that out is living it out in the moments where it's more difficult. You know, for example, I can recognize that every person is valuable until the ref on TV has called 3 pass interference calls against my team, and he's clearly blind because the other team is doing it 10 times as much. And, you know, it's easy in those moments where we're wrapped up in something and something's not going our way, and we take it out on another person, and instead realizing that we're all going through this thing called life, and it ain't easy, and just remembering all of us are made in the image of God, all of us are loved and created by Him, and that doesn't just mean having the thought that we are, it means living it out and treating each person like they are made, loved, and someone who Christ died for, even if they can't call pass interference to save their life.
One of the go ahead, Stacey.
Nope, that was your up.
Oh, I'm up. one of the things, I guess, examples that came to mind was the even though you're the parent, be able to turn around to your kid after you made a mistake and say, I apologize for my actions there, whatever that is. Because I think it might show a little bit of humbleness, but just be able to, because sometimes you are trying to cook dinner and keep the dog from attacking the cat, and the kids are throwing paper at each other or whatever's happening, and you kind of go, bah! And so there are times that we're, I mean, I like to say that I'm perfect, but no. So I think it's going
not
back.
Yet.
Yeah, not yet, at least. At least going back to just making sure that when I make a mistake, that I do call that mistake out to the kid, say, hey, listen, I messed up on this. I'm so sorry.
I'd do that too, because then it shows them that, first of all, they're human. They've got emotions. They have feelings. And whether they're frustrated because their roadblocks game isn't working, or they're out of money and they're mad and they're angry and they're screaming, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you make it for them and you're like, here. And then they're like, Mom, I'm sorry that I was mad. And I'm like, I accept your apology. I said, but you are entitled to feel that way. I'm like, we all get to that point. I said, Mama gets mad too. I said, you remember the other day when I was trying to make this work and it wouldn't happen, and you're asking me if you can play on your device? At that time, I was just like, nope, go away. And, you know, later that night, I said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry that Mom got snappy with you. But at the time, I was up to my eyeballs in something, I'm sure. And I couldn't deal with it then.
Well, and particularly in dealing with younger kids, they live in a very concrete understanding, you know, a very black and white world. And so one of the biggest challenges that younger kids have is reflection, simply because they're centric in that they believe everything they do is usually right. And being able to model reflection is okay, admitting that something I did wasn't right, not just being called out by another person, you know, of course, you know, as kids, that's going to happen to them, but being able, before someone calls them out, to start looking back and go, you know what, maybe pushing my sister is not the way to get this done. And they'll learn a lot quicker by seeing it done as opposed to being told how it's done.
Yeah. In our house, we've had some like phrases or Bible verses over the years that we've kind of used, especially with the younger ones. When for a while, we'd say all the time, be kind and build each other up. Love each other and build each other up. It seems basic enough, but also mature enough that as they grow, they can continue in that mindset. We love one another and we build each other up. We're not using our word to hurt people, but to encourage. And so I kind of like the idea of a mantra almost, but using scripture as that, to kind of put it around our house, or we have a little letter board that sometimes I'll put like just a couple words from a Bible verse up. I think right now it says, rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in the ways that we can focus, mostly it for me, I will admit that, to refocus my brain back to what matters. This day is the Lord. This life we live is to serve him and honor him and to share his love and his word with others. So right now my mission field is at home with my kids. And so how can I fulfill that mission of loving God and loving his people while I'm at my home with my kids all day, every day? So for me, I need those. That's what my life is. And I love it, but it's challenging. It's hard to be together all the time.
Yes, it is.
And to keep that perspective of this is my mission and this matters. There's nothing more important ever in my life than to love my children and to raise my children to know and trust God. So I need those reminders hourly and it's been minute by minute most days that this matters and God is with me and empowering me through it.
Well, and I love what you said there, Stacy, like all day, every day. You know, the first thing I thought of was like, you know, in doing a workout, like the first couple, like if you're doing like curls or something like that, or using a machine, the first three or four reps are not that bad. It's when you get to the last couple, it's like, you know, they maintain good form. I don't know. My arms hurt pretty bad. You know, the first couple times you do something is, you know, it's right. Easy to stick to it and all day, every day. That's a tall order, but it's what we're called to do.
Right. And we can't do that in our own strength. That's when we need God's strength to remind us of that. I am with you. I give you what you need for the jobs I call you to do.
For me, it's just changing what I see or what I look for, and trying to be more intentional about what I look for, because I can catch myself, you know, even in mid conversation with someone and really try and just reroute it to, look for the image of God, like see the image of God in this person. And that for me is just a real, like, I can see my demeanor. I can see my personality. I can see all of that change, as I start to really focus in on what I'm looking for. And sometimes it's in a person. Sometimes it's in a situation. Sometimes it's 6 a.m. and no one else is awake. And I can be grumpy that I'm the only one awake because I can't sleep. Or I can sit outside and watch the sunrise and just enjoy it and have a nice cup of coffee and just be thankful to God for his good creation. And tomorrow I can have cream in that coffee and it will be glorious. But
should I get some cream so you can do that?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Well, while you're going shopping, can you also pick up?
But it's just like, that's such an, I think for everything that we've said, these starting points, they're so easy to talk about, but then it's that reminder to live it out. And so for me, that means I got to put it in, I've got to physically remind myself. So whether it's a sticky note or I use my, my dry erase board, in my office or it's just a reminder on my phone that pops up every morning to say, hey, look for the image of God. Whatever that is, like if I don't remind myself to do it, it's really easy to just forget about it. And so that's something for me that I've got to start doing a better job of, is not only have these starting points, not only have these action items, but remind myself of them every day so that it's not like, oh shoot, it's Tuesday morning at 7:30. I better look for the image of God in somebody so that I can tell everybody when we record the podcast at 9 that I did it. And so it doesn't become a checkbox, but it becomes how do I live my life.
And I also, I like what you said of, you know, how we start our day, like what we do kind of like to when we wake up can really set the tone. And for me, it's whether it's prayer or Bible reading or finding, you know, a biblical based phrase to focus on, it's, you know, it takes effort to not get that extra 10, 15 minutes of sleep, but taking that time, it works so much better. It puts you on the right path of who you are, who God is and who he has made you and others to be.
Absolutely. All right. So again, if you've got any prayer requests that you'd like us to pray for, whether, you know, personally, or if you'd like us to pray during the podcast for you, we'd love to be able to do that so that you can have others praying along with you. But as we close our time together today, I'll let Casey close us in prayer.
All right. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you that we're made in your image, and not just us, but everyone that you've put around us. Lord, it's easy to do that to view people in your image when things are going well. And it's easy to do that when we're very familiar with our surroundings. Lord, help us in those moments when it's unfamiliar or the day is rough to still not only remember that we are made in your image, but to treat those around us with it. Lord, also give us the strength to admit to those around us when we falter, when we don't live up to the image of God that you've put in us. And Lord, in those moments when we don't have the strength, help us rely on you to pull us through. For each person listening in this podcast, Lord, I pray that you help them through the weaknesses that they're struggling with, that you remind them of who you are, but also that because of what you did on the cross for us, we're made perfect in your eyes. Help us have a good week. Help us to connect more in our families. And as things start to take shape for the school year, give us patience with the teachers and with those around us as we all try to struggle with what COVID will make things look like in these next couple weeks and months. Give us patience, give us love, and Lord, thank you for being who you are to us. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. And if you'd like to support the work that God is doing here through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at trinityfremont.com/donate.